Well, in case it's not obvious, we packed away more things than we should have packed away. If it hasn't become obvious yet, it will, as we try to do other things. There are about 30 songbooks in here, for those of you who might have wanted a songbook or needed one. Right now, they're at the ends of the rows of chairs, so we could pass those out. But I was just reminded, we packed away all the normal-sized cups, so. Our mind wasn't on packing yesterday. We were thinking about other things. We were just packing with our hands because we needed to. So if we packed away something that was important to something you're doing or your class, or we moved something that shouldn't have been moved, all apologies. We'll go back and get it. We are being blessed with this move. And we all were punched in the stomach hard on Thursday. In learning about our brother. So we couldn't have a normal service today. We've got to think about Jay. He was such a huge part of the heart and life of this congregation, and I wanted to think, what part of his life did I want to highlight? He was so full of life. He was so full of joy, and his faith was so natural. And that's what I kept coming back to, how authentic that man was, and how much I want to and I need to emulate that. He was authentic. Authentic faith. Real faith. Faith that naturally takes you from day to day, from work to family, from toil to play, from joy through sorrow, in your heart and on your outside, in your words and in your walk. Faith that overwhelms everything. The real thing. Back when I grew up, back in Eastern Virginia, somebody had made a huge bulletin board, highway sign, one of the great big ones, advertising signs, and it was all red with the Coca-Cola swirl, white swirl going across it, and in the Coca-Cola letter style, in letters taller than I am, it says, Jesus Christ, the real thing. That came to mind this week, and I was reminded in thinking about Coca-Cola's old slogan of being the real thing, how in 1985, you remember? The reason behind it is they were losing sales to Pepsi quite rapidly, and so they came up with something called New Coke. And there were protests all over the country. It was exactly 30 years ago. It was April of 85. There were protests all over the country. Protests! Protests! Because they changed the flavoring of Coca-Cola. By July, they changed back, for those of you who remember those days, and called the old one Classic and whatever, and the new one New Coke and all the rest of it. But the part that I stuck in my mind is, here I'm looking at Jay's life and I'm seeing a real life, the real thing, a Christian who walked with his faith and his heart naturally every day. And how sad it was, we had a nation that was angry over not settling, who is insistent that they wouldn't settle for less than the real thing in their cola, but how very willing people are to settle for less than the real thing in their faith. Those of us who are used to going to church can know what that's like. I don't want to say you know what that's like, but we can know what that's like. That faith can be a structure of actions. Faith can be a tie and a jacket on Sunday. Faith can be a daily Bible reading. Faith can be a group of bowed heads around the table. And that's it. It's this, you don't say, I'm going to do something tomorrow without saying, Lord willing. You don't do anything else on Sunday morning except go to church. And if you got an evening service, you go then too. That our faith is a set of structures rather than a heart and a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we can look great as Christians going through the motions. We know when to smile. We know what to wear. We know when to show up. We know when to sing and when to sit down. We know when to pray and when not to pray. Let's take a congregational step in genuineness. None of that's accusatory. You all are awesome. I'm not saying anybody here has less than genuine faith. But my dear friend and brother, Jay Baldwin, walked a walk of genuineness and of natural joy. He would come back from his trips. When he flew from Northwest, he would come back from his trips and he'd say, Robert, you got to help me out. I was having a conversation with a guy. I was sitting down in a restaurant in Japan. I was in Tokyo and I was sitting down in a restaurant and he asked me this, and he'd give me a question. You know, he said, I was thinking about it. And, you know, his faith was natural. He didn't know a stranger, and every stranger he met became a friend. And if they didn't know about the Lord, he brought him up and talk to them about it. Jesus had something to say about this, and it's the first part of what Riley read for us. So look, or if you're there, stay with Matthew chapter 6. Jesus has a warning. He brought this up with New King James, the word is take heed. In the New American Standard, the word is beware. Beware. Hi, Matthew. I'm Michael, rather. That we don't settle for less than genuine, less than authentic. Jesus had something very specific to say about us being authentic. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Now, he went on in this to talk about the issues, the actions of the day. The Jewish gatherings were seasonal. Weekly in the sense of not of obeying the Sabbath, but seasonal. They didn't have this sort of a weekly structure that we have of an all come gathering in a weekly session. So he talked about their structure. And in verse 2, he says, when you give to the poor, and he gives them what genuine giving would look like. Not just giving, but what genuine giving is. And then he says in verse 5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues to be seen. You pray like this. And he talks about a structure for genuine prayer. In verse 16, he says, when you fast, don't do this. And then he gives them a structure for what genuine fasting. He talks about the physical issues of the day, the pattern of the day of a Jewish life that would be considered righteous before God. Giving, praying, fasting. Oh, there's a good Jew. That man's got good faith. Did you see him praying the other day? Oh, he was praying loud. I heard him down in the corner. It was really impressive. Jesus says, you go into your closet to pray. The difference between a life for show and a life that's authentic in Christ. and he challenges them with genuine living. The word practicing, beware of practicing your righteousness in verse 1, is a continual verb. It's an ongoing. Beware of constant doing, of your continual practice to be noticed. Pulling us back. You see, the flesh wants to be seen. The flesh in us, the me in us, wants someone to pat us on the back. Even if we didn't do anything more than mow the lawn, we want somebody to drive by and say, wow, that was a nice job. But if we do something really good, you know. Anybody notice that? And we might slide it into the next few conversations we have to be noticed. Jesus says, watch out for that. We want to say, as Christ digs into the purpose and into the heart, we want to say, whoa, 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 just give me the big five. What's the big Christian five? And I'll do those for you, Jesus. You know, what's the things you want? Don't talk to me about my attitude. You know, that's mine. My motives, they're mine. My irritations, that's mine. Just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do those. Jesus says, I got things for you to do, but I want to start with inside of you. I want to start with your insides. He had a powerful warning. If you're on the other end of his teaching, here in Matthew 6 is the very beginning of his teaching mission. But in Matthew 23, at the end, when he's warning the Pharisees, he says, woe to you, scribes and hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but the inside is full of robbery and selfish judgment. Clean the inside. Focus on cleaning the inside. And while you're cleaning the inside of the cup, you'll pick it up and the outside's clean too. Just because you were clean in it. And so it is with us. Jay had a genuineness to his faith that came out of him in joy. That big laugh of his. I want to challenge us to step out. He would come into the guys who work with the prison ministry, and it didn't matter where he was on the rotation. He'd walk in and say, I got it today. Give it to me, guys. And he's out the door and he's over in the prison. He loved it. So we need somebody to step up with that kind of energy and that kind of heart. You got it? We need somebody who's got that open welcomeness that would just take anybody who walked up to him and focus on him and listen to him and talk to him. Can you step into those shoes? Unfortunately, I don't think anybody can step into his laugh. Or that big goofy smile he would get sometimes. I don't want this to be a eulogy about Jay. This is a eulogy about me learning from this man who walked a genuineness of faith. First thing Jesus says, watch out, beware that you're not doing what you're doing to be seen. And the word seen is the word theatrical. It's the word we get theatrics or theater from. It's clearly acting, behaving to be noticed, the outward show. And the third point he makes, that Jesus makes for us, is that otherwise you would have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. You see, this is not about us. Our walk is not about us. It's about Christ. He goes on in his lesson and reassures us that in this walk, your treasure will change from the things and the ownership around you, from the amount of square feet of ground you owe and the amount of square feet of home you owe and the number of cars in your driveway and the number of dollars in your bank account. Those won't be treasures anymore. Your treasure will be heavenly. And then he says, then don't worry about your life. You see, genuine, authentic faith reorients our thinking, reorients our values, and lifts us above the worries of this world. I love to read the Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. He describes them as a group of people in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. What an awesome description of a congregation. See, this is the application of Jesus' teaching, of Jesus' kind of priority into a group of people. And Paul writes to them and says, you don't have anyone to need to write to you about love. You love one another. God himself taught you guys to love one another, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:9. You practice it toward all the brethren. And that's a challenge that authentic faith is going to give you. That you don't get to choose who you're going to be kind to. You don't get to choose who you're going to pay attention to. Not really. Not when you've died and Christ is your life. You see, whatever person walks across the pathway of your life when you walk with Christ, that's the person you're going to listen to. That's the person you're going to care about. That's the person, as Paul says, you're going to love. Jay was one of those men that gave you that feeling when he would sit down with you. You felt like the most important person on the earth because he zeroed right in on you and he paid attention to you and he listened to you, and then you got a couple of his good stories. Now, maybe he was using us for story. Never mind. Maybe if you're really, really fortunate, you got one of his poems. But that's not easy, because there's people you want to talk to and listen to, and there's people you don't want to talk to and listen to because of who you are and your own character and your and my weaknesses and, oh my goodness, I don't have time. Really, do we have to talk about this now? I don't see Christ acting like that. Whoever walked across his path, he gave them the attention, he gave them the love, because it's not about us. Even Christ says, it's not about him. He came to glorify God. I did not come to glorify myself. I do not seek my own glory, he says in John 8:50. I do not. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who's due all glory, says, I do not come to seek my own glory. How much less us? So, back to Thessalonians. Paul couldn't stand being separated from the Thessalonians. He tore Timothy away from him and said, Timothy, you got to go see these people. You got to tell me how they are. I want to know. I care about them. I care about them so much. And they went. Timothy went and came back and says, oh, they got good faith. And they got good love. He brought us the good news of your faith and love, 1 Timothy 3, verse 6. So I'm reading First Thessalonians 3, 6. You know what I meant. I'm reading it backwards. All of those things come, and more come in the letter, to where Paul can say this at the beginning of the letter. We give thanks to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you, that our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Authentic faith authentic faith, real faith that drives our lives genuinely, day to day. Our faith, our love, our hope, our work. It brings out of us obedience and joy. It brings out of us a natural boldness, not an in-your-face boldness, but a confidence, a joyous confidence that we can talk to anybody. A love of family and others. Real faith pleases God. Real faith impacts the world. Honest, authentic faith. Jesus puts it in the center point of his very first lesson, that we would be careful not to have theatrical faith, but to have genuine faith. What a joy to have walked and learned from a man who lived it out, who gave us his joy, who gave us his life. If there's any here this morning who has not been baptized into Christ, if you're ready with your faith to begin a walk that's genuine, we ask you to come forward and let us know. If you have any needs, this has been a tough time for us. If there's any needs that we can help you out in comfort or prayer or whatever it might be, please come forward while we stand and sing the song that Stephen selected.